Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to What is Etiquette Anyways, the talk show, where we are making the world a polite place to live. We discuss a variety of topics and always enjoy interacting with our listeners. You may join the conversation live by calling 516-418-5894 or email your questions or comments to missdonnaspeaks@gmail.com. You may join the conversation live by calling 516-418-5894 or email your questions or comments to missdonnaspeaks@gmail.com. Now here's your host, John Maxwell, certified speaker, 25 plus years, master trainer, and coach, Miss Donna.
Celebration. Happy Sunday. Happy Sunday. Happy Black History Month as well. Well, today is Sunday, February 11, 2024, and we are broadcasting live from the city of Atlanta. And this evening we will be discussing Black History Part 2. All right, so stay tuned. All right, the name of the show again is What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. I would always like to begin by answering that question. And for any new listeners who may be listening at this time, etiquette is simply a set of rules of behavior. By using these rules, people make living with each other more pleasant and comfortable. Now, the word etiquette comes from an old French word meaning ticket, and later it came to mean a prescribed routine, especially of court behavior. Now, Charles I and II of England copied the rules of etiquette from the French court. Killer rules became requirements of behavior everywhere. So kudos to Charles I and II. Well, once again, welcome. We are going to continue our conversation from speaking last week when we talked about Black History Part 1. We actually kind of jump-started it on last week. And generally, one of the questions is why is Black History celebrated in the shortest month of the year? And I always like to just kind of jump in and give that answer is because of, and I talked a little bit about this last week, a little bit about the backstory of Carter G. Woodson. For those of you that may not have tuned in, may not be familiar with him, Carter G. Woodson is a Black historian who received his PhD from Harvard University in 1912 and was known as the father of Black history. And he once stated, we should emphasize not Negro history, but the Negro in history. And he goes on to say, what we need is not a history of selected races or nations, but the history of the world void of national bias, race, hate, and religious prejudice. And to celebrate Black history, or Black heritage rather, history and accomplishments, Woodson founded the Association for the Study of Negro Life and History, which later birthed a Negro History Week that grew to become Black History Month. And so that is why we actually celebrate Black History Month. So certainly kudos going out to Carter G. Woodson. And to find out a little more of the backstory of him, feel free to go back to our episode on last Sunday, where we go into a little more detail of the backstory and about him as well. But since we have so much to cover, I'm not going to go too much into depth about him, because we did that on last week. But I do want to welcome someone who's not a stranger to you, and that is Pastor Emmanuel L. Williams. How are you?
I'm fine, Donna.
Okay, wonderful. Happy Sunday to you.
It's halftime at the Super Bowl.
Okay, all right. Well, you may be enjoying the halftime show, huh?
No, nope, I don't do halftime shows.
Oh, okay. You know, I think there's, you know, quite a few people, that's the only reason they watch the game is to see the halftime performances.
That's right. That is true.
Yeah. Guys, this is Super Bowl Sunday, but of course, since last week I did commit to doing part two and keeping our conversation going, then I certainly wanted to make good on that promise. So who? What's the score? Since you mentioned it,
it's 10-0 San Francisco.
Okay, all right. So who do you think will win?
The team that has the most points at the end of the game.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much for that. Well, so we'll start with you so that we can, by the time halftime is over, we'll be able to let you go back and watch the game. But I thank you for at least jumping on for a few minutes with us. But so I'll just start with you and just let you share, when you think of Black History or the celebration of Black History, what, you know, kind of comes to your mind?
Well, what comes to my mind is perhaps going back about 70 years ago, somewhere in that 60 to 70 years ago, when it was Negro History Week. Negro History Month, rather. And that's my first introduction into it, and I remember that somewhere when I was in junior high school, I'm pretty sure that would be between 45 and 47, I was asked to play the piano on a program at another junior high school in San Francisco as a part of Negro History Month. So that was my first experience. That was my first recollection. Recollection. That's the first time I can remember hearing about it and also participating in it to some extent. And then there was another time that I participated in an event. I think it was a parade, and participated in that celebration. And I don't remember what year the change was made. Why don't you tell us, when did it go from being National Negro Month to Black History?
Well, believe it or not, it took a lot of years before that happened, because the first Negro History Week was in actually 1926, and it actually took 50 years. So it was 1976 when it grew into Black History Month. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. But I remember that in San Francisco there would normally be a meeting of the churches, and they would have the churches would come together to celebrate it. And but my own personal involvement, as I said, was when I was in junior high school and I was asked to go to another school, predominantly white school, to play the piano during a program that they have in honor of Negro History Month.
So I just want to ask you, I'm just going to throw this out there. Do you happen to remember what piece you played on the piano?
Not at that particular time in my life, no.
Okay. Just thought I'd throw that out.
I remember, no, well, since you raised that question, the first time I played in a recital, I was 5 years old, and I remember that number because I have the program at home.
Wow, really?
If I remember correctly. Well, no, I don't. Well, I thought I had the program from that school event, but I'm not certain. But that's what I remember. That was my first introduction to this particular celebration. I don't recall that there was a lot of attention given to it in the Army, though. No, I don't recall any. Right now, I don't recall any observances up until perhaps beginning in the 70s. Well, yeah, the 70s. You say that it became Black History in the 70s, and I would say that's when it first probably was mentioned, or was not, I won't say it wasn't observed, but that's when it got more attention in the military.
Okay. Yeah.
After the Civil Rights, it began to get more attention after the era, the 60s, and the passage of the Civil Rights Bill. So that's what I remember.
Okay.
And then up until the present time, at the church that I attend, I can remember the last 2 or 3 years that there has been attention given to it that I can recall.
Okay. All right. And of course, you know, we all know that even though this month is pretty much identified as Black History Month, you know, we know that we make history 365 days of the year. And so that is, you know, that's just a fact. And it is just so much that we can talk about. And guys, again, you definitely want to go back and listen to part one, because we're going to move forward today and start talking about some of our other sheroes and some of our other heroes as well, and from, you know, different areas. And then we're going to do some additional trivia. We had some trivia questions last week where there were quotes and who do you believe that actually, you know, stated this particular quote. So Pastor, I thank you so much for coming on. I don't want you to miss the second half of the game.
Don't worry about it.
But I appreciate it. And I do want to, I would be remiss, guys, from telling you who my Black History hero is, and that would have to be my mother. And her name was Verna French. She was a woman of faith, And in fact, she was very, very young when she, you know, confessed Christ. And she was a nurse. In fact, she completed her nursing education at the Indiana General Hospital School of Nursing. And she was one of the first female African-Americans to graduate from that institution, which at that time it was a very highly regarded institution. And she was also a member of Zeta Phi Beta sorority in Indianapolis as well. And you know, she was just a very caring person, always. She basically dedicated her life to over 40 years of nursing, actually. And she was just also very caring and kind and generous. And, you know, she had a sense of humor. And perhaps that's where I get mine from. She certainly enjoyed laughing. And I know that she was also what was considered a perfectionist. And I say that I'm a recovering perfectionist because I just like to, you know, do things and make sure they're right and just keep doing it to make sure until it's right. But we know that, you know, we're not perfect or anything. But, and she certainly enjoyed, I know I talked a little bit about Harriet Tubman last year, and she was basically our Harriet Tubman for our family because, you know, all of her siblings that actually followed her to Indiana arrived via her home. So, you know, they came when they, you know, stated that they wanted to move from Alabama. Then they did, and they came, you know, through our home until they were, you know, set to get set up on their own. And so she was certainly our own Harriet Tubman. But I know that she certainly she certainly taught me what it meant to be a lady, and because, you know, not only did she talk about it, but she was a role model, you know, and I'm so grateful to her for showing me and talking about etiquette at that time. And so wanting us to make sure that we, you know, knew how to act and react and to do so with proper behavior. And she certainly, in addition to that, she always, you know, lived by the golden rule and taught, you know, my sister, brother, and I the same, and that, which is, of course, we know it's Matthew 7:12, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, or treat others the way you want to be treated. So I certainly thank her for that. And it was years, many years later that I found out actually that the meaning of my name is Lady. So I thought that was really amazing. You know, she worked hard, and like I said, nursing. And I can recall when I was probably, I don't know, 5 or 6 years of age, and she always had to go to work, right? And she was the only one that had to go to work out of my friends because their parents were off generally on the holidays and on the weekends. So it was hard for me to understand why, you know, she had to go to work. And then one time she just explained to me, she said that, well, she said, when I'm taking care of people and when they are sick, it's very, you know, they, just because it's a holiday doesn't mean they automatically get well suddenly. And so they still need care and, you know, they still need to be taken care of. And so with that explanation, you know, that really, really showed me, even at that young age, her character and how she was determined to continue to take care, you know, of her patients, and in addition to helping me to really understand, you know, how special she was to, you know, continue to stay, you know, really committed to what she was doing. So with that explanation, though, that certainly did help me to understand, you know, why it was that she had to work, you know, sometimes on the holidays. So I didn't really like it because I would have preferred her, you know, to be at home, but I did certainly understand. So that was a really, really good lesson for me. So yeah, I definitely have to give kudos to her and just, you know, truly love and miss her. I want to talk about, I want to go ahead and go on to talk about Kathy Hughes. And Kathy Hughes is who is called, she's known as, I guess, if you will, a radio maven. Kathy Hughes was born in Omaha, Nebraska in 1947, and beginning her career in radio in 1969, Hughes' first position was with KOWH, a black radio station in Omaha. And her successes there prompted the Howard University School of Communications to offer her a position as a lecturer and as an assistant to the Dean of Communications. Now, in 1973, Kathy Hughes was named General Sales Manager to WHUR-FM in D.C., and by 75, she was hired as the General Manager of the station. And under her guidance, WHUR-FM, which had been struggling along with 300,000 in annual sales revenues, increased its annual revenues, now listen to this, from 300,000 in annual sales, and with her, increased its annual revenues to more than $3.5 million. Now, in 1978, Hughes left for WHUR for WYCB Radio, where she served as the VP and general manager of the station. She and her husband at the time decided they wanted to buy their own radio station in 1979. And after being rejected by, listen to this, 32 banks, they found a lender. Okay? They were rejected by 32 banks. But they just kept going and they kept trying. So that certainly does, you know, show persistence there. With their loan, they purchased WOL, a small Washington, D.C. station, and Radio One was born. While Hughes wanted to talk format for the station, she wanted a talk format, the bank was pressing for music. A compromise was reached permitting Hughes to have a morning talk show program that was followed by music programming throughout the day. Hughes' marriage ended shortly after purchasing the station, and she began her path as a single mother. She purchased her husband's share in the station, but hard times soon forced she and her son, Alfred, to give up their apartment and move into the station to make ends meet. Over time, however, the station began to turn a profit largely due to the successes of her talk show. Talking about resilience, and I know I remember seeing her being interviewed, and she was talking about how, you know, she and her son lived at the radio station, and, you know, she had, he was actually, you know, they made like the little pallets on the floor to sleep there. And but since the early days of being a station owner, Hughes' rise has been remarkable. Today, Radio One owns 65 radio stations throughout every major market in the country, making the company the largest black-owned radio chain in the nation. In January of 2004, Hughes launched TV One, a cable television channel targeted at the African American community. And of course, today, she has the distinction of being the first African American woman to head a media company publicly traded on the U.S. tenues, to serve as chairperson of Radio One. And I just think that is just absolutely amazing. And I'm always very interested in the backstory of people. And, sometimes, Pastor, people will look at successful people and think, you know, they appear as though they may have, you know, had all of these successes all of their life, but that is so not true. And I know oftentimes we can, you know, look at these people and wish, you know, for what they have. But I always like to say, you know, if you wish for what they have, are you willing to go through what they went to get what they have? And so I believe oftentimes, you know, that thought is not really, you know, it's not considered. But yeah. So, and that's why I've always been, you know, very attracted to people's backstories, because, you know, it really, you know, it shares, and this is so encouraging, you know, for people. I am certainly encouraged by that and what she did, and especially, you know, how long it took her for them to secure their loan. But, you know, they could have given up after the second or the third or the fourth or fifth time, right? But they just kept going, and they kept going, and they kept going and trying again. And so, you know, we've heard that, what, if you at first you don't succeed, you know, try again, and then continue trying. And so, you know, they tried, and finally the 33rd time, you know, they were able to receive, you know, the loan. So isn't that amazing? And that is just, you know, that just means, you know, just kind of, you know, stick to it and keep it moving. And that's what that says to me, just continue trying. And so we will, you know, certainly cover some additional heroes and sheroes and from different, you know, areas as we continue. I'm going to take a, before we take this short break, I want you to think about, I want to see if anyone knows here who actually, I want to give you just a few trivia questions and see if you know who quoted this. One quote is, he who is not courageous enough to take risk will accomplish nothing in life. Again, he who is not courageous enough to take risk will accomplish nothing in life. And how about this one? Life is not a spectator sport. If you're going to spend your whole life in the grandstand just watching what goes on, in my opinion, you're wasting your life. Who said that? Okay. Another trivia here is a quote, for while we have our eyes on the future, history has its eyes on us. This is the era of just redemption, we've inception. So I think those three are I think good enough to kind of stop, and we'll come back, and if you know the answer to that question, you know, give us a call, 516-418-5894. All right. So, there was three quotes there. And on the other side of the break, we'll come back and see if anybody knows who said those. Okay. All right. So, listen, we will be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Have you ever dreamed of becoming an author? You've wanted to write a book but are not sure of how to get started? Or perhaps you want to write a book, but you hate writing. The truth is, most of us have information and testimonials inside of us that need to be shared. Did you know that reading about your story can possibly change the trajectory of someone's life for the good? People are waiting and needing to be guided, directed, inspired, and encouraged. And this can happen just from reading your story. CourteousPublications.com can help you write your book and get it out. We offer virtual workshops and one-on-one coaching sessions. And if you don't want to write it yourself, we can write it for you. For more information, go to CourteousPublications.com. That's CourteousPublications.com. CourteousPublications.com. Or you can send an email to CourteousPublications1@gmail.com. We help want-to-be authors write books. Introducing the new book, Black and White Piano Keys, Challenges of a Black Man Living in a White Context by Emmanuel L. Williams. This is a phenomenal story of a black man and his courageous journey of unbelievable experiences and how through an unyielding faith in Jesus Christ, he was able to navigate from the 1930s to the present. As you read this book and travel on his journey throughout the pages through the various stages of his life, you will be encouraged, entertained, and inspired. Emmanuel found out that through his faith in God, self-discipline, and hard work, he could do anything he put his mind to despite the challenges he faced, and so can you. Wouldn't you like to know how he did this? Go to www.CourteousPublications.com. That's www.CourteousPublications.com. Click books to see his book signing schedule or go to Amazon.com to secure your copy today. Black and White Piano Keys, Challenges of a Black Man Living in a White Context by Emmanuel L. Williams. According to the American Diabetes Association, the strongest evidence for diabetes prevention comes from the Diabetes Prevention Program, or DPP, demonstrated that an intensive lifestyle intervention could reduce the incidence of type 2 diabetes by 58% over 3 years.
Hello, everyone. Do you want to be inspired and encouraged? Listen up. I want to tell you about a new and exciting book called My Forever Affirmations Book and Journal, Positive Thoughts for All Ages by Donna Paige Riley. Have you or someone you know ever struggled with low self-esteem or self-worth? Been bullied? Felt like giving up on something that seems too hard to accomplish? Get nervous about taking a test for school? Feel like quitting? Feel self-conscious? If you answered yes to any of these questions, you will want to purchase a copy of My Forever Affirmations Book and Journal. My Forever Affirmations is a book and journal of quick, to the point, powerful, encouraging, positive thoughts and poems that will keep you encouraged no matter your age or what you're facing. There's also room to write your personal thoughts. We all need to be encouraged in positive ways, don't we? After reciting these affirmations, you are sure to feel good or better about yourself. You will be encouraged. Hurry, order now. Copies are limited. Go to www.amazon.com. Type in My Forever Affirmations by Donna Paige Riley. Again, go to www.amazon.com. Type in My Forever Affirmations by Donna Paige Riley and secure your copies. You'll be so glad you did.
You are listening to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. You may join the conversation by calling 516-418-5894 or email your questions or comments to MissDonnaSpeaks@gmail.com. Now back to the show.
Okay, we are back.
Would you like to know...
If you guys thought about those questions that, the trivia questions before we got started, the first one was, he who is not courageous enough to take risk will accomplish nothing in life. Anyone know who said that? That was Muhammad Ali. Life is not a spectator sport. If you're going to spend your whole life in the grandstand just watching what goes on, in my opinion, you're wasting your life.
And who said that was Jackie Robinson, who was the first African-American to play in Major League Baseball. And I think I asked you one additional question. Whose quote is this? For while we have our eyes on the future, history has its eyes on us. This is the era of just redemption we feared at its inception. And who that quote belongs to is Amanda Gorman. Amanda Gorman. You remember her. Amanda was the youngest poet laureate ever to speak at a presidential inauguration. And she just so eloquently, you know, stated, for while we have our eyes on the future, history has its eyes on us. This is the era of just redemption we feared at its inception. So those were our trivia questions for today. And in case you're just joining us, we're continuing to celebrate Black History Month as we share some of the sheroes and heroes. And of course, again, I do want to mention again that although we know that February is designated as Black History Month, we know that Black history is certainly made each and every day, 365 days of the year. All right. I have a question for you. Do you know who sung? Well, first of all, do you remember Reading Rainbow? And I'm pretty sure Reading Rainbow is certainly some, but Reading Rainbow is the children's show that we all learned and we heard LeVar Burton. Most people probably remember LeVar Burton from that particular show, Reading Rainbow. But you know what, the song, the theme song for that show, do you know that Chaka Khan actually sang the title show, the song for this, the theme song, I guess I should say, for this show was sang by Chaka Khan. All right. Let's see, what else I'd like to share. And I do want to remind you at your leisure, go back and download. You're certainly invited to download the show from last week, which was last week was February 4th, right? But certainly feel free to download that show, which was part one. And that will give you an opportunity to hear who else we've talked about. And, of course, you know, there's so many heroes and sheroes that we do celebrate. There's just really no way we can buy and that has, and, you know, done something and made such impact. And there are so many that are that, you know, you and I, you know, we make our own impact as well. Okay. I do want to talk a little bit about Ida B. Wells. After losing both parents to yellow fever at age 16, Ida B. Wells' tenacious spirit safeguarded her and her surviving siblings to live decent lives, from working as a school teacher to becoming a newspaper owner. She always centered Black communities, credited as one of the main activists and voices during the women's suffrage movement. Wells made it her business to ensure women were treated fairly, especially Black women. It even led to forming Chicago's Alpha Suffrage Club in 1913. The organization was the main catalyst to pass the Illinois Anti-Suffrage Act. The skilled journalist and researcher fearlessly covered the American South and its lynching culture of Black people. She became a Pulitzer Prize winner. And 158 years after her death, earning the highest national honor, journalism, for her outstanding
outstanding and courageous reporting on the horrific and vicious violence against African Americans during the era of lynching. Okay, wow. That was just absolutely amazing. Okay, let's talk a little bit about, does anybody know out there what, who was actually born Marguerite Johnson? This phenomenal woman was born Marguerite Johnson. Now, we don't know her, or she's not widely known by Marguerite Johnson. Actually, we know her by Maya Angelou, right? And, of course, she said a bird doesn't sing because it has an answer. It sings because it has a song. And I just want to tell you a little bit of, a little more backstory about her. Of course, she's a writer, poet, and civil rights activist. Maya Angelou had a powerful story to tell. She led an enormously influential life using her 1969 I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings autobiography to share her personal experience with racism, trauma, family, and journey of self-discovery. And, of course, that is one of the most popular poems, you know, ever. Which was titled, I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings. Now, she was born in St. Louis, Missouri in 1928. She was abused by her mother's boyfriend, Freeman, who was murdered shortly after being released from jail. Following that incident, Angelou became mute for 5 years. Her explanation was this, that she thought her voice killed him. She says, I killed that man because I told his name. And then I thought I would never speak again because my voice would kill anyone. And I remember hearing that, you know, there was a time period that she never spoke again. And so I was interested in finding that out, and so researching to find out what that backstory was for her. And that's why she did not speak for 5 years, because she thought, you know, she killed someone with her voice. But Angelou persisted, rediscovering her voice and using it to lead an impactful life and share her story. Her influence expanded far beyond her autobiographies, essays, and poetry. Now, she's credited with countless plays, movies, and television shows as both an actress and a writer. She received dozens of awards and over 50 honorary degrees. And in case you all are just joining us, you are listening to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. We are celebrating Black History Month, and we are celebrating some of our heroes and sheroes. Currently, I'm speaking of Maya Angelou. Now, I said, of course, she was awarded over 50 honorary degrees, and her role as a civil rights activist pushed her to the forefront, where she served on both Gerald Ford and Jimmy Carter's committee. At Bill Clinton's inauguration ceremony, she read her poem, On the Pulse of Mourning. Some other facts about Maya Angelou is that in 2010, President Barack Obama awarded her the Presidential Medal of Freedom. And when she passed away in 2014, she left behind nothing but support for telling her story and the stereotype she spent her whole life fighting against. CNN called her a woman who pushed for justice and education and equality. Obama said that the world lost one of the brightest lights of our time. A brilliant writer, a fierce friend,
and a truly phenomenal woman. She inspired my own mother to name my sister Maya. Angelou's works and her actions still speak for themselves. So now, isn't that interesting? President Obama saying that, you know, she inspired his mom. And so his sister is actually named after her. Okay, so, and again, her works and actions still speak for themselves. It seems fitting that Maya Angelou to have the last word, which was, I've learned that people will forget what you said. People will forget what you did, but people will never forget how you make them feel. And I quote her quite often when talking about kindness and etiquette and the platforms that I serve with. But yeah, it's, you know, sometimes, you know, how you interact with others is so important, and you know, they may not remember exactly what the conversation was about, but they'll remember, especially if you extended kindness to them, how you made them feel when you did that. Okay, and so yeah, that was just, you know, just an amazing, phenomenal woman. And again, guys, if you're just joining us, thank you for joining us. We are celebrating Black History Month. This is our Black History Part 2 episode. And, you know, we certainly vie to celebrate every day. I would like to tell you a little bit about Georgia Gilmore. Have you heard about Georgia Gilmore? Well, she founded the Club From Nowhere, is what it was called, an organization of maids, service workers, and cooks seeking to aid the boycott. The name was an attempt to shield members from the consequences of openly supporting the boycotts. Now, some colored folks or Negroes could afford to stick out their necks more than others because they had independent incomes, Gilmore explained. But some just couldn't afford to be called ringleaders and have the white folks fire them. So when we made our financial reports to the MIA officers, we had them record us as the money coming from nowhere, the club from nowhere. Only Gilmore knew who made and bought the food and who donated money. Now, the underground network of door-to-door selling sandwiches, pies, and cakes, and collecting donations. The proceeds were then turned over to the boycott leaders. Now, donations came from whites as well as blacks. That was very nice of the people because so many of the people who didn't attend the mass meetings would give the donation to help keep the carpool going. And, of course, when thinking about Black history and participating in Black History Month activities, it's, you know, it's so important to remember that one of the keys to not repeating the mistakes of the past is to fully acknowledge the experiences, the contributions, and the existence of a shared legacy and foundation that has not always been inspirational. America is a great nation, and the reality that we as modern society are striving to learn, grow, and continue to build on America's foundation together is a feat in and of itself. Okay, so that was Georgia Gilmore. And again, she founded what she called the Club From Nowhere in order to protect, you know, many of the participants. And it's very, very interesting. Very, very interesting. So I hope, you know, with sharing some of, you know, this information and some of the quotes that you're hearing, hopefully that you're hearing some of the information that you have not heard before. You know, oftentimes when listening and when discussing Black history, we talk about a lot of the Black history giants, if you will, that we've heard over and over, and, you know, we even, you know, learn in history, you know, class sometimes. But certainly the goal was to certainly be able to introduce you to some people that, you know, that you haven't heard of before. Let's see. Someone said that history has shown us that courage can be contagious and hope can take on a life of its own. And this was stated actually by First Lady Michelle Obama. Of course, as you may or may not know, she was the first Black First Lady of the United States. So that was one of her quotes. Let's see. Unless we start to fight and defeat the enemies in our own country, poverty and racism, and make our talk of equality and opportunity ring true, we are exposed in the eyes of the world as hypocrites when we talk about making people free. This was stated by Shirley Chisholm, the first Black woman to be elected to Congress in 1960 and to run for president in 1972. Did you guys know that? She made a run for president in 1972. And again, this was Shirley Chisholm. Wow. All right. Let's see what else we can share with you this evening before we conclude. And again, hoping that you are hearing, you know, some of these statements or hearing about some of the heroes and sheroes that we were sharing. Let's see. Here's another quote here. I am America. I am the part you won't recognize, but get used to me. Black, confident, cocky. My name, not yours. My religion, not yours. My goals, my own. Get used to me. Now, who do you think said that? I'll give you a clue. He's widely known in the sports arena. All right. You give up? And I'm going to read that again since I gave you the clue of he's widely known in the sports arena. I am America. I am the part of you won't recognize, but get used to me. Black, confident, cocky, my name not yours, my religion not yours, my goals my own. Get used to me. Muhammad Ali. And, of course, he was a political activist, entertainer. He was a philanthropist as well. And, of course, I believe most of us know that he was the greatest heavyweight boxer of all time. And Ali used his influence during the civil rights movement to instill racial pride. And I do want to share that I had the, opportunity and was blessed to meet him when I first moved to Atlanta. I worked for a then cable show. And I recall getting a call one afternoon asking me if I could go down to the Capitol to interview Muhammad Ali. And it was probably 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and they told me that Muhammad Ali and Evel Knievel were both in town. And they wanted to know if I could just go down and interview him. And I said, wow, absolutely. And my answer is yes. And so this was during the time that he also, it was actually the very beginning stages of his illness. And he was here really to promote, he was here with his manager. They were to promote his He had a shoe polish brand. I don't know if you guys remember that, but he actually had a Muhammad Ali shoe polish brand. And so I was to talk to him about that. And I'll never forget, I was sitting down in the room that where I was going to interview him. And I was just sitting, and my back was kind of to the door. And somebody came in, and I got a tap on one side of my shoulder, and I turned around to that side, and nobody was there. And he was standing actually on the opposite side, and he just cracked up laughing because I was looking to see who tapped me on the shoulder, and it was him. And, of course, you know, you've always heard that he has been, you know, he's real comical, and he, you know, he loves to play. And so so that was cool. But, yeah, I just ended up speaking with him and his manager about promoting his brand of shoe polish. But, you know, it was just, you know, really an honor and a privilege to be able to meet and speak with him. And the one thing that I regret is I did not have an opportunity to, I didn't have a photo taken with him. And so, you know, I didn't carry cameras around or anything like that. I just, you know, kind of shot down there to meet them. And of course, you know, like I said, I saw Evel Knievel as well. I did not interview Evel Knievel. That they didn't ask me to do that. But anyway, I just thought that was just amazing. And I did have an opportunity to see that. Yes, he does have a sense of humor. But again, guys, I hope you have heard something, you know, this evening can kind of share with others, or you may want to just kind of Google and you know, look up some of these people yourself. And I do want to say thank you all so much for joining me this evening, and whether you're listening live or you will go back and download the episode to take a listen at a later time. But I thank you so much for doing that. I thank also Pastor Williams for coming on this evening as well, and did not want to pull him away from the second half of the game, because I do understand. And I want to
I'm watching.
Just say thank you. And you are watching? Okay. So you want to give us an update, a score update?
It's 10-3 San Francisco.
Okay. And, yeah, that's – are you rooting for them?
Before,
that's your home, right?
Yeah. Before you close, you've been highlighting a number of female history-making people. And I would also like to add before we close that one of the most famous individuals and contributors to African-American history was Colin Powell, who was the first four-star black general and also the first black general to be the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. And also on his way up to that, he was worked with the in the White House with Henry Kissinger. So he came along during the difficult times of blacks in the military and succeeded in making it to the top.
Thank you so much for sharing. Thank you so much for sharing that. Yes.
Yeah.
I so appreciate that.
Yeah.
And everyone, again, thank you all so much for joining us. And we want you to, you know, certainly enjoy the rest of your evening. Again, I want to thank you for, you know, spending this time with us. Again, whether it's live or whether you're going to listen to us a little later on. We appreciate when you tell your friends and family about our show. Invite them to listen after our goals. And listen, never tire of loyalty and kindness. Hold these virtues tightly. Write them deep within your heart. That's one of my favorite proverbs. That comes from Proverbs 3:3. And I'm going to ask you, you know, I do this every week, to ask you to please Initiate an act of kindness this week. And you know what? If you are intentional, you can really initiate an act of kindness every day. Okay. Again, thanks so much for tuning in. Take care. God bless. And you know what? We will see you, or we'll talk to you again on next week as we continue celebrating Black History Week. And I know I didn't really give out the number or ask you guys to send us messages, and I see some of you did send us some messages, and I tell you what, I promise you that next week I will, you know, cover those first, okay? If you want to, as a couple people have done, shout out who your Black History Sheroes or Heroes are. We certainly don't mind you doing that, and we look forward to being able to share on next week, and we will more than likely have more people to share live on next week during our part three, okay? So again, thanks for joining us. Good night. Take care, and God bless.
Thanks for listening to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. Please join us again next time as we will discuss another exciting topic.